Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's my pleasure to welcome you here to the Clark Howard Show, where our mission is to serve you with advice and information that empowers you to make better financial decisions in your life. One decision we make every day, how are we going to pay for stuff when we're out and about? So more and more, we're doing tap to pay with our phones. Gosh, I got something crazy to tell you about tap to pay you're going to want to hear. Also today, we're finally seeing results of something I have talked about several times recently. It's how we want to do more in person and how it's causing shifts in the economy you need to be aware of, also potentially creating some savings opportunities for you. So speaking of the opposite of savings, it sure is convenient to go through a line somewhere or pay for a bill wherever at a retail store, whatever it is, and just go boop and pay with Apple Pay, the most popular, GPay. There's Samsung Pay. You can pay with your watch. You can do all these things. I use Tap to Pay on public transit around the world. And I got to tell you, it has changed things for me in such a positive way, because when you use public transit like I do, and you'd have to go buy some stupid ticket and figure out how to buy it from whatever machine it is, not user-friendly, and you'd not know exactly how much money you were supposed to put on it or anything like that. And then there'd be a service fee on top of it for getting that ticket. Now, you don't pay anything extra. You just tap to pay on more and more, if not most, transit systems around. Huge convenience for me. And, you know, you use tap to pay so many places, quick and easy. But a new bank study finds why you're seeing such a push for you to use tap to pay with a phone. When we use tap to pay, we buy almost 10% more stuff than we would otherwise. That it's so easy and it so doesn't feel like money anymore that we spend more, buy more. And you think about this progression, because you know I've done the things with people who've been in trouble with spending money on credit cards, where I put them on cash only and an allowance only, and how incredibly fast people are able to reduce their credit card debt and ultimately get out of credit card debt. Because when it goes to spending cash and you're having to pull that cash out. And so if I pull out the cash I have with $1 bill, those of you seeing on the YouTube show, another $1 bill, another, oh, there's a five, oh, and there's 120. When you use cash and you see the finite amount and it shrinks, you spend a whole lot less money. So that's why if we look at the progression of things, people spend more with a debit card buying things than they do with cash. And then you move to credit cards. People spend more with credit cards than they do with debit cards. People spend more on a credit card when it has tap to pay than when they have to insert it. And now it turns out they spend even more when it's tap to pay with a phone. That everything for the banks is to try to get you and me to spend more money, to borrow more on credit cards, to do all that, because they're trying to boost consumption that benefits them instead of savings that really doesn't. And so this is all about knowing yourself and what you can afford. Know the consumer behavior. And again, think of it like an evolutionary thing. People spend the most conservatively, the most carefully with cash. Next with debit cards. Piece of trash, fake Visa, fake MasterCard. Next with an actual credit card. And finally with tap to pay. Every one of them leads to more spending than the prior method of payment. So if you are feeling stressed or you feel out of control with your daily spending, think about dialing back whichever of these steps you can do that gets you back the control in your life that you want to have. I use cash almost never now. It's crazy. I almost never, ever use cash. And then I use credit cards, and then, as I explained, occasionally tap to pay with the phone. And so almost certainly I am spending more money than I would otherwise. Fortunately, it's well within what I can afford to do. But what if it's not? And what if it wasn't? I know from counseling couples over the years about their spending that there's not even a scintilla of doubt what I would do. And it would be plain, simple cash would be how I get that control back. Krista?
Okay, here are some questions. This one came in from Kathleen in Oregon. The grocery shelf checkout line helps me earn high interest on my checking account. To get my high rate, I must make 15 debit card withdrawals of at least $5 each month. I do most of these by doing self-checkout and breaking up my cart items into multiple purchases of over $5 using my debit card for each individual purchase. Few shopping trips are needed to fulfill this requirement. What do you think?
Kathleen, it's working just great for you. If you're not aware of this, there are some small community banks and some credit unions, but especially community banks, offer these checking accounts that may pay 5% or so interest on the checking account. In return, you have to use a debit card, clearing it as credit so many times a month. 15 is a very common number for this because the fees that they earn from those debit card swipes as a credit card are so high that the merchants pay that the bank or credit union gets that it more than covers the interest they're paying you on your checking account. Now, usually there'll be a limit how much money in your checking account will earn the rate of interest. It may be $5,000, $10,000 often with a checking account, but you're earning a checking account that usually would earn little or usually nothing, suddenly now is earning somewhere around 5%.
Lynn in California says, my question is about the AT&T data breach. On the podcast, Clark said after freezing credit, which I did years ago, thanks to Clark, and changing our passwords, then to change two-factor authentication to email instead of phone number. What if the only option for two-factor authentication is by phone? Is it better to still use the phone for two-factor, or is it better to not have two-factor authentication at all? By the way, I got an email from AT&T offering one-year complimentary credit monitoring, as Clark predicted. Thank you for all your help. Clark's advice and wisdom has taught my family and me so much over the years.
So I got my AT&T breach letter.
I did too.
In yesterday's mail. How recently did you get yours?
I got it a couple of days ago. It was an email.
Oh, you got an email? Mm-hmm. I got a letter. Yeah, this AT&T breach is gigantic. 73 million Americans, current and former AT&T. And the criminals got such deep data that the things you ask, Lynn, it's great that you've been implementing them. You already had the credit freeze. You changed your two-factor to email instead of your phone, since the criminals have your phone information. And as far as the ones that don't allow email for the second factor, leave the phone in place because two-factor is still more valuable. I hope that any key financial sites, like if you have a 401k account, investment account, any kind of retirement account, that kind of stuff, bank account, that they offer more than just a phone number for two-factor authentication, so that that is protected. And in a case where you get the AT&T breach, it'd be extra important that you monitor your monthly statements very thoroughly for any investment account, retirement account, bank account, credit union account, because if you don't really pay attention to your statements and phony debits are happening or charges or whatever, and you let too much time pass, which is generally 60 days, you forfeit your money forever. And remember, the criminals have enough information from this AT&T breach to be able to do real financial harm to you for years to come. So please, please do exactly what Lynn did. If you do nothing else, get the credit freeze in place today. It's easy, it's free, and when you need to apply for credit, easy to do that with a temporary thaw. It doesn't hurt any of the credit you already have. It just prevents a criminal, without your knowledge and consent, applying for credit behind your back and causing all kinds of additional havoc in your life. If you go to clark.com/credit freeze, you'll know what to do.
John in Florida says, you may have already touched on this, but I'm noticing a few dine-in restaurants are now adding a mandatory service charge junk fee onto your bill. It's about 20% or more. What are your thoughts on this? I personally hate giving a big tip if service was not good. Now customers have no choice.
So that's why a handful of states have either passed or are considering laws for full disclosure of this is another junk fee. And California actually has a law going into effect because a lot of restaurants are suffering inflationary pressures like the rest of us, but maybe even more than other facets of industry because they've had both the increase in labor costs, the increase in food costs, and because of more demand for space, higher rents too. I mean, it's like they're just getting clobbered from multiple directions. So they want to make their restaurant prices look more affordable than they actually are by not raising the menu prices on individual items. And then you get your bill and it'll have a 20 or 25% service charge added on to it.
Right. And
not
that,
the tip.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Like, that sounds like it's a tip because in Europe, it might be the tip, but yeah.
This is in addition to the tip. And so I think it's maybe short-term desperation on the part of restaurant owners, but you break trust with a customer when you do this. There are some also, some restaurants not doing that, but are testing the European model of just having a flat rate service fee in lieu of tip. And then it will say on the bill, it will say additional gratuity if you want to add more gratuity. And when I've had that happen, that curveball has happened to me a couple of times. I ask my server, hey, this service fee that was charged, do you actually get the money or not? And I've heard both answers from people. So if I hear they're not actually getting it, then I tip. If I hear they are getting that money, then I'm not tipping. But this is messy stuff. Speaking of restaurants, I want to talk about a big pivot going on in the restaurant industry that is important for your wallet.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Reboot your credit card with Apple Card, the only credit card designed for iPhone. It gives you up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase. Plus, Apple Card has no fees, not even hidden ones. Apply for Apple Card now in the Wallet app on iPhone. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Variable APRs for Apple Card range from 19.24% to 29.49% based on creditworthiness. Rates as of February 1st, 2024. Terms and more at applecard.com.
Sometimes the economy makes sharp pivots right before our eyes, and we don't notice because it's not part of our everyday existence. Warehouse space was the hardest to get space in industry, in business. There was, I mean, like ever in 2021, 22. Today, warehouse space is going begging. Trucking companies couldn't get enough trucks on the road, couldn't get enough drivers. I mean, it was a huge problem for 20 to 22. And cargo ships, rates for cargo ships were going through the roof for those years. Now all this is reversed. Warehouse space heavily becoming available. Trucking, all the trucking companies are reporting bad quarterly numbers that are publicly traded. Small privately held ones, many of them are failing. And cargo ships are now begging for cargo. This was all based on what happened with how supply chain was disrupted and then how we were having everything done by delivery. And now that we have gone back to so many ways, so much of what we did in 19 and before, demand for different things has changed. And one of the areas that we do know about and we pay attention to, and that's food delivery. Food delivery was everything a few years ago, and now it's like nothing. There still is food delivery, but so much less. And I think about the ghost kitchen thing. Ghost kitchens are closing very quietly all over America. This is where there would be these restaurants that did not have a retail thing. They would be in a warehouse district and they'd make the food and the whole purpose of it was for delivery. I saw one recently that had a sign. It was in an industrial area and it then had 10 brands that they delivered for, 10 different restaurant companies they delivered for from that kitchen. It was still operating. But the thing is, we have changed. We want to be back out. We want to be back out doing things. I know there are people who did things all along, but a lot of people chose to self-isolate for a long time. And so these trends that looked like they were our future were in many ways a blip. And yes, there is more online shopping today than there was 5 years ago, but there's a lot more clicks and bricks, where someone will buy online, pick up in a store. And people have gotten frustrated, particularly women with clothing, that they'll order something online and it won't look like what they thought it looked like on their phone, or won't fit or whatever. Women very heavily are returning to shopping in physical stores. So we have this big pivot in society, which ironically enough means that a lot of things you do online now have a price advantage over going to a physical location because of excess product, excess inventory, and loss of enthusiasm among shoppers for doing things online. They want that human engagement, human experience. And with goods, They want to be able to look at them, see them, touch them. Do you know why Costco is never going to follow Sam's into putting such an emphasis on online and delivery, even though Costco.com is a big online.com?
Is it because people do what I do and you walk in and you see all these things you want to buy in addition to whatever you have delivered?
That is exactly right. The Costco rule. It's all about the treasure hunt. And people get into a Costco and things just magically jump into the cart.
Yeah. It's
like, I mean, look how big the shopping carts are at a warehouse club. And they just jump into the cart. And how do I avoid that in my own life?
You don't use a cart unless you need to buy something like paper towels or toilet paper, and it's too much, then you go back and get one.
That is exactly right.
I've seen it happen.
You can control your spending in a warehouse club if you purposefully don't get a cart. And then if I know I'm getting a bulk item, I wait till the very end and I go get a cart. You know, I have the things in my arms. I only buy whatever I can carry in my arms. And then I go get the cart and get the things that are the bulky ones and pile on top of them the things that are the smaller items that I have decided to buy or I knew I was going to buy, and try to avoid that crazy impulse spend. And now I've noticed that I don't see it in Sam's, but I see it in Costco, that a lot of store managers now will position some carts in the back of the store for people like me who don't get a cart when they come in. And they'll see something, they'll want to get it. And so instead of having to go all the way back to the front, they'll have some carts strategically located towards the back. You'll find them most often, if you're a regular Costco shopper, back where the beverages or the paper goods tend to be, in the very back towards where they store inventory behind the retail floor. I don't spend any time in Costco doing it.
All right. You know what was funny? I have to say, whenever someone says that they met you, it's always at Costco. And then I, the other day, ran into you at Costco just randomly. Like, we had both left work, and I was, and they were like walking toward me in the parking lot. I was like, well, hello, Clark. Like, you do go there all the time.
Well, you know, when mail delivery used to happen in America, I had my mail delivered to Costco instead of home. But now I don't do that, since you never know when the mail's going to show up.
Okay. Elaine in Florida wrote in. She said, thanks for the heads up about not using public chargers. Does this apply to the charger at your airplane seat?
Okay. This is so crazy timely, Elaine. I just did on TV an update on the stuff with what's called juice jacking, where you're at a place where they offer complimentary ports. You can plug in USBs to charge your device. And those are even more risky than when I first talked about the first story we did about it 7 years ago. And it was just a starting off thing for criminals to steal your information from you through a USB charger. And airplanes, I've not read or seen or heard anything about juice jacking happening on an airplane, that a criminal would put a device on there where they'd be able to steal your information. I think it's because the passenger turnover every single flight. So that has never been on my radar. I've never read it anywhere. And at least for now, I would not worry. I'd be happy getting that charge from your airplane seat.
And I bought those little, I bought like a 3-pack of the things that you can plug your USB into. And then it supposedly stops that from happening. And then you plug that into the public charger.
I don't know if that's a legit thing. I'll check.
Okay.
Because we're on this whole thing.
Amazon said it was legit.
Oh, great.
So it must be fine.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Brian in Georgia says, the majority of my TSP investments are in a life cycle fund. Since my plan is to have 20 to 30 years in retirement, is staggering a life cycle fund a good strategy to take advantage of some growth within these retirement years? If so, what would be a good staggering strategy? I listen often, but have never heard this question.
Okay, so first of all, this is the federal employee equivalent of a target retirement fund with a set date when you do the life cycle. And just like a target retirement fund, they adjust the mix of investments to be more and more conservative leading into retirement and then once you're in retirement. But they still, in the life cycle fund, keep a decent portion in stock type investments to help you outrun inflation. So, Brian, there's an unusual thing, though, that's a wrinkle for federal employees. If you are a career federal employee who works enough years that you retire with a good federal pension that will cover substantially your living expenses every month or cover all of them or most, let's say that, then you can invest your TSP in retirement more aggressively than someone who does not have that really nice pension check coming in month after month. So in your case, if you wanted to play the game that people do where they take the expected retirement year, the life cycle you go into, and push it later, it will have more of your money in stock type choices in the life cycle fund. Again, that would only apply if your need for the funds in the TSP or something with an undetermined date, because you're able to live every month just based on the income coming in from the pension and anything else you have.
All right, we're coming back to Costco with David in Connecticut.
Seriously?
I'm serious. I forgot I'd put this in here. This is a comment from him. I know you like Costco, and so do I for many things. There's one item, however, that has disappointed me: paper towels. After being a Bounty user from Walmart for a long time, I tried the house brand Kirkland towels. I found the paper quality very poor, needed a full sheet to absorb the same amount of liquid that one half sheet of Bounty would. Next, I tried a pack of Bounty towels from Costco. The overall quality appeared the same as I had been getting from Walmart, but the sheet size was larger than the normal product, a fact that is touted on the package. This must be a feature produced especially for Costco. To me, this is not a benefit, as the Select-A-Size sheet is now approaching the size of the original sheets before Select-A-Size was introduced. This defeats the whole purpose of Select-A-Size. I'm wondering if anyone else has these opinions. And P.S., I had the pleasure of shaking your hand a few years back at your book signing in Westport, Connecticut.
Okay, so it used to be funny. I'm going to go answer your question about paper towels. That Connecticut is not that large a state, but when we do book signings, when I'd be on book tour in Connecticut, we would do book signings in three or four different locations around the state. Because even though you could travel from one part of the state to the other in an hour, in many cases, people wouldn't travel outside of their little trading zone to go to another for a book signing or anything. So we'd do Bridgeport, and we'd do Hartford, and we might do
Stanford,
and we'd do, you know, we'd do three or four every time we'd go. And it was funny because in a lot of markets in the South and the West, people would come these crazy distances for the book signings. It was completely normal. Mm-hmm. But I loved the events we do in Connecticut, because at the book signings, I'd always answer questions first. And the questions we'd get from people in Connecticut showed that you value every dollar like I cannot imagine. Do you remember that? How careful they are? And the reason I mention that is, David, your question is like exactly what I would expect. Why does the Kirkland signature paper towel not pick up and absorb like the Bounty? And why are the Bounty sheets bigger than they are at Walmart?
I have to say, I've been using the Costco Bounties, and I actually do share this opinion about the Select-A-Size. I didn't realize they were bigger at Costco than the normal Select-A-Size.
Well, you needed a Connecticut Yankee to tell you
that,
right?
This morning, I tore off like a small piece because I just didn't even need the half sheet or whatever it is. It's crazy.
So it's happened organically over time, but we use the Sam's Club members' Mark towels. I don't know who makes those for Sam's, but we like those better than the Kirkland signatures from Costco. So maybe that is an area that Costco does need to improve on, is how their paper towels work. And the fact that
the
Select-A-Size. Oh, yeah. Don't
even get me started. Kirkland signature toilet paper.
I don't get that toilet paper. What's the deal? And by the way, Member's Mark toilet paper is really good.
Oh, I buy the Charmin at Costco. I'm just a Costco member.
Well,
that's an example, like you were saying loyalty is a bad thing yesterday, was it, or the other day?
Yeah. So, I mean, I want the best deal, and being a member of both really works out. But anyway, Costco, if some of the KS items are not to the quality that customers expect, you need to fix that. And this Bounty thing, maybe you need to do smaller Select-A-Size, because your members are thrifty. and they want the most for every dollar. So who knows if this is the start of change in how Costco makes their paper towels.
You know, I'm not always great with money, but I did also recently at TJ Maxx, I saw these reusable paper towels that I'd seen advertised for a lot of money, and I got a 3-pack, and they are great for picking up spills, and I just rinse them out. So I still have paper towels, but I'm going through less too. So,
well, we on our kitchen counter, we also have these reusable little thin cloth towels. Instead of using paper towels, and it has reduced our consumption of paper towels a fair amount. Mm-hmm. So David, my suggestion to you, try what we did and consider, if you are a Sam's Club member, consider trying the Member's Mark paper towels and see if you're not happier with how they do the job of cleaning up spills than your disappointment with the Kirkland Signature paper towels from Costco. And I know people think I'm the man from Costco because I love Costco. But the thing is, I also love variety. I love competition. I love that Sam's, which used to be the worst run place ever, now has really much improved management now and has become a serious competitor to Costco, which they never were. I think we benefit as a society from having that competition, having that choice.
You know what? I need you to pick me up paper towels from Sam so I don't have to buy the membership and I can sell you the money.
You can keep your money if you're going to try to sell it, which is what I've told my brother who keeps trying to sell me money. I will not take it. I will not accept money from Zelle because that's the Trojan horse that brings the criminal in to where they can come in and steal all my money out of my account. Not gonna happen. But I want to tell you how much I've enjoyed having you with us today. Our whole goal for you to learn ways to save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow.